This morning, if you have a Bible, and I hope you do, if you'll turn with me to Psalm 78 as we continue our Parent Commissioning Sunday. And this designation is very important. Very, very important. And it's one that I pray that we will take seriously as dads and moms and as a church. It's one that we pray will a relationship between our families that make up this church and the church itself and the teaching ministry of the church, we pray that we will be able to strengthen how we equip parents. You know, there is no just one instruction manual that tells us how to parent. I heard those words in my home yesterday as we have challenges, and we all do. And so we need to know the Word. We need to walk with the Lord. We need to be discipled in the Word, and it is so crucial. And this, you know, the first institution that God created was the family. And God said, be fruitful and multiply, and the cultural mandate of Genesis 1:28, and we're going to make man in our image, male and female. We will make them. And then he tells them to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and have dominion over it. In Genesis 2, we see more of a spotlight on how God created the woman from the side of the man, Adam. And Adam named her woman, which means out of man. And so the doctrine of family, it sounds weird maybe to even say that, but it shouldn't. Doctrine means teaching. The teaching about the family is very significant in Scripture. And what I wanted to do this morning as we begin this morning would be on the screens there is going to be in just a moment. I do want to read my text, and we'll come back to that. But I want you to see what we as a denomination have said about marriage and family, and we as a cooperating Southern Baptist church affirm that statement. But let me read Psalm 78, verses 1 through 8, if I may, this morning. God's Word is sufficient. God's Word is inspired and errant and infallible. And this is God's word for us this morning. A Maskil of Asaph. He writes, give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known, that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. That they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. Let me pray one more time, and then we're going to preach this text this morning. Father in heaven, thank you for worship through music this morning, worship through prayer, worship through seeing Christian parents yield themselves to you. And Father, I do pray for Kenneth and Megan and Brandy and Dwayne, that Lord, you would grant these precious families, Lord, the grace and the strength, the wisdom that they need. Lord, I thank you that they are willing to stand before their church family, their faith family, and present themselves, Lord, before you and before them And we acknowledge that we need your grace in the calling that we have to instruct our children in the ways of the Lord. We need your strength, your grace. Apart from you, Lord Jesus, we can do nothing of eternal significance and for your glory. And so we ask for that help and that strength today. And I pray this for not only these two precious families, but I pray that for all of us, Lord, in this room. And I thank you for every man, woman, young person in this room today. And I pray that you would arrest our attention and speak truth to us now. May we speak Jesus from this text. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning, I would like to share Article 18 from the Baptist Faith and Message as we begin this morning. And you will be able to see this there on the screen. And let me share this. It reads this way. And this, is again, is our official doctrinal position of the Southern Baptist Convention. And as a cooperating church, we are required to have a like faith, right? We are to agree with this doctrinal statement. And so that's one part of what makes us Southern Baptist as a church. But this is good, and I just want to share it with you. Maybe you weren't aware of this particular article. God has ordained the family as a foundational institution of human society. It is composed of persons related to one another by marriage, blood, or adoption. Marriage is the uniting of one man and one woman in covenant commitment for a lifetime. It is God's unique gift to reveal the union between Christ and his church, and to provide for the man and the woman in marriage the framework for intimate companionship, the channel of sexual expression according to biblical standards, and the means for procreation of the human race. The husband and wife are of equal worth before God, since both are created in God's image. The marriage relationship models the way God relates to his people. A husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. He has the God-given responsibility to provide for, to protect, and to lead his family. A wife is to submit herself graciously to the servant leadership of her husband, even as the church willingly submits to the headship of Christ. She, being in the image of God, as is her husband and thus equal to him, has the God-given responsibility to respect her husband and to serve as his helper in managing the household and nurturing the next generation. Children, from the moment of conception, are a blessing and heritage from the Lord. Parents are to demonstrate to their children God's pattern for marriage. Parents are to teach their children spiritual and moral values and to lead them through consistent lifestyle example and loving discipline to make choices based on biblical truth. Amen. Children are to honor and obey their parents. And that concludes the reading of the Baptist Faith and Message 2000, Article 18. And that said a lot, beloved. And we're not going to unpack all of that today. That's a whole sermon series waiting to happen in this one article. But it is in our confession of faith, and we're thankful for that. Let me mention a couple of foundational statements as we dive into Psalm 78 this morning. Family is the foundation of society, and biblical marriage is the foundation of the family. And so goes marriage, so goes the family. So goes the family, so goes our society. And this morning, as we address this issue, we want to come from two particular angles at this issue. It's a very critical issue. There's no one in this room today who is not aware of struggles and situations and abnormalities in our culture and society and in lifestyles today. And this morning, on this Mother's Day, I want to focus in on two understandings here, two applications of the Baptist Faith and Message Article 18, but more than importantly than that, all of those statements are grounded in Scripture. Again, I believe, and as a church, we believe that it is the Bible that is our ultimate standard of truth. This Confession of Faith, which was originally written in 1925, it was updated in 1963 and then revised yet once again back in 2000. That confession, the Baptist Faith and Message, helps us explain the biblical truth that we see in Scripture. But I would like to think of it this way. One thing we must do as a church and in our community groups is we must teach and preach and proclaim God's divine design for marriage, family, and gender. We must preach and proclaim what God has created and divinely designed for His creation. But we also must recognize we live in a Genesis 3 world. This term is not new to this church because I use it quite often. I hear younger men preaching and I hear them reference the Genesis 3 world. We live in a world where sin has impacted people. Sin hurts people. In fact, the wages of sin is death. If you want to know that the Bible is true, then when you have a death that you're familiar with, that's evidence the Bible is true. God didn't create us to die, but it's the wages of sin that is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And this morning we need to understand and we want to proclaim God's pattern and His divine design, and at the same time we want to understand that we live in a world of sin and hurt and brokenness, a world of pain and sorrow and tears today. Truth be told, there's not one parent in this room that doesn't have anxiety and frustration and fear. And let's just be completely honest, and failures in our own lives. Every parent, we blow it. We mess up. We fall short. That's the whole point of the gospel, because my hope today, relating to salvation and assurance of salvation, I was telling a young couple in premarital counseling this morning, I don't look back to an eighth grade experience in a football stadium to be able to have assurance of my salvation. I don't do that. This morning, I am looking to Jesus to be my perfect plea, to be my righteousness, to be my Savior. I don't have to try to remember back to the eighth grade in the football stadium and the citywide crusade and all of that. I'm looking today and saying, Lord Jesus, I need You. And apart from You, I can do nothing. And I want to encourage us. The gospel is all about being perfect. And none of us in this room are. And the sooner that we dismiss that deceptive mindset from our own hearts and minds and recognize, as the Bible teaches us, we need Christ. We need Christ. No matter what happens in the end with our parenting, we need Christ. The children need Christ. Your grandchildren need Christ. As we say, we speak Jesus because He's the remedy to the problem within us. Sin is not really out here as much as it is within me and within you, and we need Christ. But here's the thing. In this Genesis 3 world, which is a battlefield, and there's carnage everywhere. Everywhere we look, there is hurt and pain, and there's division, and the gospel unites. It'll strengthen your marriage. It'll strengthen your family. It is sin that will divide your family, that will destroy your marriage. And so this morning, as we look at Psalm 78 briefly, we want to think about the responsibility that is biblically stated in Scripture, that as a dad and as a mom, we have a responsibility as parents to teach our children. In fact, my big idea today is that parents are commanded to bring up their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That word discipline, we always think of, okay, you're in trouble, so I'm going to discipline you. This idea of discipline there in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. In fact, I have it on the screen, I believe. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That word discipline there, it has the idea of training, consistent training. And just like if they play a sport or they're in dance or whatever it may be, they're going to have practices. They will have rehearsals. They will go to people who are better than them, and they will be coached and all of these things. They're being trained to do that particular sport, whatever it may be. In parenting, we are commanded to train our children to pursue godliness, to love Jesus, and to walk faithfully before Him, and to make a difference. I think it was Brother Joel Bishop, yes, in a sermon he preached from Deuteronomy 6 a number of months ago. He said, you know, we're not here to entertain children in church. We are here to create soldiers of the gospel. And when we think about that as parents, that challenges us. But we are commanded to bring our children up in the discipline and instruction. That word instruction means to put into the mind of our children. In both terms, when you study them carefully from Ephesians 6:4, are talking about not only head knowledge, but also a heart commitment to that truth, which leads them then to live and serve Christ faithfully. And that's the goal. I said in family worship last night, I want you to have good grades. I want you to work hard in school. But my biggest prayer request is for Daniel Paul and Mary Grace to be a godly young man and a godly woman. You see, if that prayer is answered, they'll do their best in school. That may be C's, it may be B's, it may be A's. But you see, our biggest need, parents, is to point our children to Jesus and see them come to saving faith in Him. And what I want us to see this morning as we work through this text this morning, number one, I have three main points this morning. Number one, parents, teach your children. Parents, teach your children. Verses 1 through 5. In fact, dads and moms, you are to be the primary teachers of gospel truth to your children. And they will be what they see. And this is why I like in Ephesians 6:4, and as I was studying that last night again, the first part, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. I'm thinking, how do we parent and not make them angry? When you say, no more screen time, that makes them angry. Put your phone down. Charge it. No. Do you tell them no sometimes? I hope so. But just like when your parents told you no, and when your parents told you to go sit in your room or whatever they did, they didn't tell you not to have screen time probably, but that's a newer development. But you understand, when you were told no, you were angry too. So how does this verse of Scripture kind of relate to me and to us here in 2023? Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. You know, Dr. John MacArthur says in his commentary on Ephesians that it talks about a persistent pattern of just ungodly behavior that creates a deep-seated resentment and anger within our children. And so we're not to live in such a way as that will provoke them to anger. And his commentary is really good. I don't have time to go into that today, but if you get that and look at it, he gives you about 8 or 9 different ways that we as parents oftentimes provoke our children to anger. But we're not to do that. We're to bring them up, right? We're to see them grow up in the training and the instruction, putting truth into their mind that will transform their lives, where we see them born again, where we see them have a heart for King Jesus. That's what we're shooting for in Ephesians 6:4. And in Proverbs, by the way, 6:20, Solomon writes, "My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching." And so we see again the role of parents in bringing their children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. This is very significant and important. So our top priority, parents, is to make sure that our children come to know the Lord. And so we do that by doing everything we can, right, to get them in the Word. And we get them to church. We pray for them. And, oh, parents, pray. And I know you do in this room, but I just have to say, while I have this opportunity today, we need to be praying for our children. All through the day, I think, and I'm praying for Daniel Paul and for Mary Grace. Oh, Lord, protect them while they're at school. Lord, help them to make godly choices while they're at school. Help them, Lord, to be more like you. I'm praying for them throughout the day as the Lord prompts me to think about them. And I do that often. And I know many of you do that often. And we need to pray. God answers prayers, and we need to pray. And we need to join with other parents as we go through our struggles. Every parent has struggles. Every parent has issues. Every parent has short fuses at times. And we need one another. Listen, we don't have to go through this life in its sorrows and its challenges alone. That is a message of biblical Christianity. We are now in Christ, and Christ is in us. And we are now planted in a local church somewhere. If you're being an obedient Christian, then you will follow the Lord in believer baptism, and you will be a member of a local church somewhere where you can fit in, where you can be a part, where you can plug in, be connected, where you can know others and be known by others. This is not optional Christianity. This is biblical New Testament Christianity. We need that. And so, parents, you are to teach your children. Number two, parents, teach your children the gospel. Teach your children the gospel. Verses 4 and 5 in particular, let me read those. "We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children." Parents, teach your children the gospel. Family discipleship will require doctrine, which means we need to know the truth of Scripture. It will require doctrine, devotion, and diligence, because it gets tough day in and day out. It's not, being a parent, as we know in this room, if you are a parent, it is not an easy calling. It is one of the most challenging callings in all of life. And again, the sad reality is I fall short of what the Lord is calling me to be every day of my life. And there would be people in churches that may go, "Oh, you mean the pastor is not living up to what God is calling him to be?" Mercy. We have the wrong guy. No, I've already said it once and I'll say it again. My only hope is Jesus. Now, in him and he in me, he is living his life in and through me, and by the way, in and through you, if you are truly born again and indwelt by the Spirit of Christ, Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. But because of that flesh that is still within me, I am falling short. And parents, we have to admit, we fall short, but we need Christ. We need to see him and love him and walk with him. And so if we're going to see family discipleship occurring in our homes, where the dads will get the wife and the children, and we'll figure it out. We're going to teach our children the truth about God. It's going to require that we know doctrine, that we're devoted to the Lord, and that we're diligent in our pursuit of what God is calling us to do. And just some things that I put in the notes, and so you'll see them on the screen. Number one, we need to teach the Scriptures to our children. We need to teach the Scriptures. We will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and His might and the wonders that He has done. And so we're to teach the next generation who God is. This is important. You say, well, you know, Pastor, you've been trained to do that. I haven't. Yes, you are being trained to do that. We need to acknowledge that, beloved. I mean, we talk about coming to worship, yes, but worship's not just standing up and singing the top of your lungs and waving a hanky and jumping chairs and salivating in the mouth. No. Worship is also instruction, learning the truth about who God is. In the text, it mentions there His might. We teach the children about God's might. We teach them about His character, His holiness, His righteousness, His justice. That He knows everything, that He's everywhere, that He's sovereign, and He can't be defeated. We teach the next generation, our children, who God is. We also teach the next generation what God has done. Look in the text. It talks about, we teach them about His glorious deeds and the wonders that He has done. In fact, Asaph, in Psalm 78, he's using history, the history of the people of Israel and Judah, as an example. It is primarily a negative example. In verses 9 down through the end of the chapter, pretty much down through verse 66, from verses 9 through 66, mainly Asaph is saying, don't be like our forefathers, right, whose hearts were hardened toward God. They wandered away from God. They turned from God. They worshiped idols, and so God has sent judgment upon them. He's saying, don't do that. And we have preaching through the book of Exodus, we've just seen the golden calf incident just recently as we've been working our way through that great book of the Old Testament. That's what he's talking about. The northern kingdom, they went after idols. And then eventually Judah didn't learn the lesson, and in 586 BC, they too were conquered. Not by the Assyrians, but by the Babylonians. And so, but what we see here, Asaph is using the Bible, Scripture, the history of Israel, if you will, as a negative. Don't be like these people, because they forgot God. They forgot His glorious deeds. They forgot the wonders that He has done. They forgot of His almighty character and nature. So listen, parents, we need to teach our children, the next generation, who God is. And we need to teach them what God has done. And we need to teach them what God has said. And He uses words here. He uses the word testimony. The word testimony, when you look that up, in fact, in the ESV Study Bible, if any of you have those, they're very helpful. There's some out on the counters out here that we like to sell for a very reasonable price. The word testimony means what God has testified concerning His will. That's what the word testimony means in the original language. We have His testimony. We have the word law. And when we think of law, you know, we think of laws like thou shalt and thou shalt not. But really that law, Torah, means instruction. God is instructing us through His word. So we get to see clearly what God's will is for us. Those would be the testimonies. We see the law. That's His overall, more general word of instructing us as to the character and the commandments of God. Then there is the word commandments itself, which is what God instructs us. He orders us to do something, right? That's what the commandments are. These are things that God says. So we need to be teaching our children who God is, what God has done, and then what God has said in His Word. We need to teach our children the Scripture. And there are a lot of resources available, and there are children's community group teachers that will help you. There are pastors who will help you. And listen, we all are imperfect in this, but let's seek to be more consistent. Let's be devoted and diligent in seeking to do this in our homes. Teach the Scriptures. The next one is we need to warn against sin. That's verses 8 through 19. Psalm 78, verses 8 through 19. Listen, sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. And we need to nip our sins in the bud, beloved. We need to do everything we can in the power of the Holy Spirit to nip our sins in the bud. When the Holy Spirit of God convicts us as parents, we need to confess that sin to the Lord. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We confess our sins to the Lord, and we go to our wife, we go to our husband, we go to our children, and we say, you know, I was wrong. in the way I said that. I was wrong. I jumped before I knew all the facts. Please forgive me. We talk to our husbands that way. We talk to our wives that way. We talk to our children that way. That's gospel parenting. That's living out the gospel in our lives. It's not that we are perfect and have arrived. We realize every day that we continue to fall short. And Jesus, if it's not you, it ain't happening. That's gospel life and gospel living. We must teach our children the scriptures, who God is, what God has done, and what God has said. We must teach our children about sin, define sin. Use the catechism, the Truth and Grace catechism book. Use that with your children. Help us learn basic Bible and theological truth so we know what sin is and we speak specifically about it. And then the next one is we make much of God's grace and forgiveness in Christ. In fact, in Psalm 78, look at verse 37. In Psalm 78, verse 37, Asaph writes, "Their heart was not steadfast toward him. They were not faithful to his covenant." Here he's talking in particular about the northern kingdom. But in a sense, he's talking about me. The great commandment, most of you probably know that commandment in the New Testament. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. It's a great commandment. And I don't have within me what it takes to obey that commandment every moment of every day. There's only been one who did that. And thankfully, he's the one who went to the cross of Calvary for me and for you. You see, the northern kingdom, yes, they were unfaithful to keep the covenant. They weren't steadfast toward the Lord. But verse 38, yet he, being compassionate, atoned for their iniquity. And did not destroy them. He restrained his anger often and did not stir up all his wrath. As we teach our children the commandments and the instruction and the testimony, as God is revealing his will to us in his word, they're going to come to see that God is requiring of them something that they cannot give God. And that's where we realize we don't measure up to the perfect standard of God's law. That's where we come to understand that, hey, I must have Christ. This is the instruction of teaching the law. See, our children need both law and gospel. Sometimes we're just really, you know, easygoing and we don't hold them to standards and things. And on the other hand, sometimes we're very stern taskmasters. And there can be either law and no grace or grace and no law. And parents, this is hard. But God is calling us to teach them the law, God's instruction, and hold them to the law. Realizing that and knowing that they're not going to keep that law perfectly, and neither do we, but that's why we have to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus and be saved, and we have to have him every day of our lives to live to glorify God. And so we make much of God's grace and forgiveness. If you look toward the end of the psalm, I do want to point this out. This would create a great study for you in the future. As Asaph, again, is talking about the northern kingdom and how they turned from God, they abandoned God, they forgot their God, they were unfaithful in their covenant, and God eventually sends judgment through the Assyrians in 722 B.C. But notice the promise through Asaph here, verse 67. He rejected the tent of Joseph, which is a designation for the northern kingdom. He did not choose the tribe of Ephraim, and again, another northern kingdom tribe. But he chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loves. He built his sanctuary like the high heavens, like the earth, which he has founded forever. He chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds, from following the nursing ewes, and he brought him to shepherd Jacob, his people, Israel, his inheritance. With upright heart, he shepherded them and guided them with his skillful hand. What do you see in these verses 67 through 72? We see through the pen of Asaph here, the quill of Asaph, God is saying, hey, I'm setting my favor upon Judah. the promised deliverer is going to come through Judah. I am setting my favor upon the tribe of Judah. I'm choosing Judah. I'm going to put my temple in the territory of Judah in Jerusalem. I'm choosing David. And again, we know that Jesus Christ is a son of David. He's a descendant of King. What we see there, beloved, as we look at it with gospel lens, is we see God's grace and God's forgiveness is coming through the line of the tribe of Judah for you and for me. And so parents, teach your children the gospel. Start where you are. Learn if you don't know. This is so important. Listen, they're being discipled better by the world than they are by us. May God give us wisdom, strength, doctrine, devotion, and diligence to do that. The third point, parents, teach your children the gospel so they will know God with their minds, trust God with their hearts, and obey God with their lives. If you go back and you're in Psalm 78, go back to the opening part of the verses and look in verse 6. Asaph writes, we're going to notice the he commanded our fathers to teach to their children. Why? Verse 6, that the next generation might know them. That is the commandments and the statutes and the testimonies and the nature of God and the character of God. The children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children. And so the goal here is so that our children will know God with their minds. We want to instruct them, put truths about our holy God into the minds of our children. But more than that, it needs to go from the mind to their heart. Notice in verse 7, so that they should set their hope in God. So that they should set their hope in God. So verse 7, so our children will trust God with their hearts. So they need to know God with their minds, and then they need to trust God with their hearts. And parents, we can't change their hearts. But God has taught us in His Word, amen, that, in fact, Jesus says, sanctify them in the truth, your word is truth. And so, dads and moms in this room, as we teach our children Scripture and theology from the Bible, we're trusting God. We're committing them. That's how we have Parent Commissioning Day every day of our lives, is when we teach them Scripture and biblical theological truths from the Word of God, and pray that God will help them to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ from these truths. Teach your children the gospel so that they will know God with their minds, trust God with their hearts, and the third thing and last thing, so they will obey God with their lives. You see, in verse 8, he introduces the negative example, and that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. You see, dads and moms, this morning, I'm asking you to join in with Pam and me and other parents in this room, and with the two sets of parents that stood on the platform this morning and said, we're committing ourselves to bring up our children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. It's kind of like Joshua. You're going to have to choose. Choose you this day whom you shall serve. Choose you this day whom you shall serve. We're making that choice today, parents. Joshua says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want to encourage us, parents, to jot these simple principles from Scripture down. Teach your children. Teach your children the gospel. Parents, teach your children the gospel so that they will know God with their minds, trust God with their hearts, and then obey God with their lives. That's successful parenting. And here's the thing. You and I can do everything right according to the book. And they still, in their will, choose to go a different way. This is why we need the Lord and why we need one another, church. We don't need any people in this church pointing fingers at anyone else. We need to come crawling on our knees before a holy God, pleading for His grace in our lives, in our homes, in our marriages, and in our parenting. And we need to join together, not turn away from, but lock hands together and beseech the throne of God for His mercy upon the next generation. And one way we can help this is to hold one another accountable. Let's do family worship. Whatever you want to call it, family worship, God time, devotions, whatever you want to call it. There's some tips I give you on the screen, and I'll be quick with these as we close. I mean, read the Bible together. Use the Jesus Storybook Bible. Use the book we gave out today to these two families. Use, you know, other, but there are many other resources we can recommend to you on that. But so if your kids are two, you may not want to read from the family Bible just yet, but there are other books you can read which help them begin to understand Scripture. But read the Bible together. Include your children in family worship. That should be obvious, but let them read. Yes, they may mess up. Yes, I mess up some. But include your children in that time of family worship. Keep it simple. You don't have to read a whole chapter. It may be a verse. It may be two verses. It may be a few. That changes with the age of the child and their spiritual maturity. Explain the meaning of the Bible verses you read. Now, that's going to be a problem. Well, get a good study Bible. It'll help you. Hey, they're going to have questions. Once you get in the flow, they will have questions. And here, remember this, parents. I learned this in student teaching. I don't know. I don't know. But I will try to find out an answer. Do not be afraid of that situation. Explain the meaning of the Bible verses you read. Pray together as a family. Like Brother Kenneth emphasized for our dads today, to pray with their wives and their children that are here this morning. That's important for dads to do. Lead in prayer with your family. Sing together. We need to work on that. Memorize Scripture together. We have a memory verse every week. You can go with that. Maybe you don't. You didn't know we have one. It's just been a few years we've been doing it. But memorize Scripture. That's an important part of discipleship, is memorizing Scripture together. And then the last one I put on there was just shepherd their hearts. You may have a plan when you come to family worship, but the Lord leads in a different direction. Go with that. Shepherd their hearts. Don't be legalistic about it. We're not. But if we're going to have strong homes, and if we're going to see our children truly know God with their minds, trust God with their hearts, and then obey God in their lives, with their lives, for many of us, we're going to have to do better than we're doing right now. Or the discipleship of the world is going to win out. And we may lose our children. So my parting question is, you know, what's next for you and your family? The biblical commandment is clear. And I would say this. I just want to say this. Because I grew up not truly understanding this or hearing it preached or taught anywhere. And so somehow in America, we lost a commandment of God. Does that remind us of maybe Israel in the Old Testament any? Like, for 700 years went by, and then they discovered the scrolls in the temple when they're cleaning up. And King Josiah says, hey, we need to read this. We got to figure this out. We hadn't been doing these things. So I want you to hear my heart. We're not pointing fingers at anybody. I need to do better at what I'm preaching on today. I'll be the first to say it. I need to do better at what I'm preaching on today. No guilt trips. You know, it's never too late to repent. As long as we have breath, we can repent. We can say, Lord, you have instructed me. You've given me something to think about. You've given me something to pursue in my life, with my wife, and with my family. And Lord, through your strength, I want to follow through on this. That's what I'm asking for today. Our homework is that we apply this message and see God's favor be seen more evidently in our homes, in the conversion of our children. That's what we're praying for. Would you bow your heads with me as we conclude this morning?